Mark chapter number 4, when you found your place, if you're willing and able, if you'll stand as we read God's Word. I had a whole different message in my Bible, but the Lord had pressed upon my heart to preach something different. Mark chapter number 4. I want you to look with me in verse number 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind and waves. And it beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, saying to him, Master, carest not that we perish? Have you ever been there before? You didn't understand it. You say, God, what are you doing? He said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind. He said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. I have written in the flyleaf of my Bible and read, For every crisis, we have the Christ. For every great storm, we have a great calm. Verse 40 said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and sea obey him? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we need your help this morning. Lord, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. God, I'm thankful, Lord, that we can have peace and joy even when they say we shouldn't. Lord, I ask God, Lord, that God, this message, Lord, your word would be a help to somebody today. God, I know this, there's not just one tragedy this morning. Lord, in a group this size, there's no doubt in my mind, Lord, that somebody's going through something. God, I ask, Lord, that they'd get help, encouragement from your word. Lord, we'll praise you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. An old preacher told me this one time. I believe it to be true. He said there's three phases in life. You're either currently in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to enter into the storm. You say, preacher, how do you know that to be true? Well, Job said it like this, man that's born of a woman is just a few days full of trouble. Jesus says in John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Paul tells young Timothy this, thou therefore endure hardness. Paul says in Romans, he said, we glory in tribulations. Peter says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. The psalmist said this, for thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. James says this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. All through the pages of Scripture you'll find that God's people are never exempt from trials. We're never exempt from storms. But I promise you this, that God always has a purpose for the storm. I want to direct your attention to verse 38. The disciples asked a question, Master, carest thou not that we perish? When we read that, we want to rebuke the disciples for asking such a question. But I would dare say that there have been times in our life that we've asked the very same question. It may not sound like the way they said it, but it could say, God, what are you doing? God, why me? God, why my family? Why am I going through this? Everybody else isn't. Why me? And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought. Does the Master care? Does the Master care? We understand that the disciples, great miracles taking place. Jesus has just taught them the parable of the sower and the word. He's been teaching, but now a shift in the text. He has sent them into a storm. And I want you to notice, number one, we find in our text a difficult circumstance. A difficult circumstance. Verse number 37, the Bible says this, there arose a great storm. Not just a storm, but the Bible says a great storm. It was a severe storm. If you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, you'll know that it's nearly 700 feet below sea level. It's 8 miles wide at its widest point, and it's 12 miles long long from north to south. In places, the sea is over 200 feet deep. To give you some perspective, the deepest point of High Rock Lake is 50 feet at the dam. Everywhere else is about 20 to 25. The Sea of Galilee was over 200 feet deep. The hills of Galilee reached near 1,400 feet above sea level, and the Sea of Galilee was literally like a bowl. So at any given time, a severe storm, it was subject to violent storms as the wind would come across the eastern mountains and drop into the sea. That word storm in your King James Bible, it's called a whirlwind or a violent attack of wind. A violent storm breaking through from thunderclouds and furious gusts with floods of rain. I remember the first time my wife let me buy a boat. And I remember the first time we went out on it. First time, you know, and y'all know this, that any time you buy something like that, you have to prove to your wife that it was worth buying. Y'all know what I'm talking about, you know. And they don't care anything about it, but you're just showing them everything. And the first time I took, I believe it was at Clear Lake, first time I ever took out, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was one of those guys at the boat ramp that you just thought was, man, he was just messed up, didn't know, that was me. And I'm trying to look all proud in front of my wife. We finally get out there, and man, we start going. And I kid you not, 5 minutes into our journey out on Clear Lake, it begins to pour. I look over at my wife, she's just drenched. I'm drenched. And it came up quick. I mean, I told her, I said, well, there's no point to go back. We're already wet. Let's just keep going. But the point was, is I didn't know the weather. I was just one of those guys that's always optimistic. I would kept saying something like this. Well, those clouds will just blow over. It'll be sunny in just a minute. I didn't know a lot about the weather. Didn't know, but I just remember that storm. How do you remember that? You know what I'm talking about? I just remember that storm that come upon us. But these guys were experienced fishermen. They knew the weather. They knew how to read the clouds. They knew how to read the sky. But the problem was they were caught in a severe storm. It was a difficult circumstance because of the severity of the storm. But also, I find it a difficult circumstance because they were simply submitting to the Savior. Look with me in verse 35. And the same day, even when the even was come, He, that's Jesus, saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Can I ask you a question? Who asked the disciples to go to the other side? What are they doing? They're listening to Him. They're just submitting themselves to Christ. It's difficult because the disciples' obedience is what got them into the storm to begin with. Storms come when we disobey. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Ask Jonah. But storms also come because of our obedience. James said it like this, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That word perfect means spiritually mature. God grows us through storms. He grows us through trials. Peter said it like this. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as such some strange thing that happened to you." He says, "But rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." This was a difficult circumstance because of the severity of the storm. It wasn't just any storm, it was a great storm. It was a difficult circumstance because they were simply submitting to the Savior. But I tell you, it's a difficult circumstance because in our text, I find a startling situation. Look with me, verse 37. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship." It wasn't very bad until you get to this point. Water's starting to come into the boat. How many of you know this, that when water starts filling up the boat, things ain't looking so good? You don't gotta be a captain of a vessel to know that water does not belong inside the boat. And it gets worse. It says in verse 37, "so that it was now full." A ship full of water. How many of y'all believe y'all's Bible? Would you say amen? How many believe that the boat was full of water? A boat full of water ain't good, y'all. They're in a storm. It's a great storm. They're just submitting to the Savior. And now their boat is full of water. You say, "Preacher, how in the world does a boat stay afloat when it's full of water?" I've got the only answer that I can think of, and it's because they had the Master on board. I'm thankful that when it seems like my boat is going to go down, that I've got the Master on board. Listen, I don't know what the world's got. I don't know how they make it. But I know when I go through a storm, I've got the peace of God inside of me. Not only do we see a difficult circumstance, but we see a direct command. Look with me, verse number 35. A direct command. "And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." It's a direct command. There's a couple things about this command I want you to notice. It is a command of plurality. Notice this one word in verse number 35. "Let," here's the word, "us pass over to the other side." Us includes Jesus. In other words, Jesus is saying, "I'm not sending you out by yourself. I'm going with you." How many thankful that Jesus goes with us in the storm? He may not deliver us from the storm, but He's going with us through the storm. It's a command of plurality. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness." Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee." Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 139, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" I think about stories in our Bible. You think about old Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't compromise. They didn't bow down to that statue. And he got mad and he threw him in that fiery furnace. Though when he looked into the furnace, I'm thankful today that they were not in there by themselves. But he looked in there and he said, "I saw a fourth man, and it's likened unto the Son of God." How many thankful today that God goes with us in the storm? Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." I think about Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. Somebody's in there with him, holding those mouths shut. Those disciples were out in the storm. They thought they were by themselves. But then Jesus asleep behind their party. I'm thankful of the other time when the disciples were out on the ship, out in that storm. They looked and they thought they saw a ghost walking on the water. And I know y'all laugh, but y'all, you say, "Preacher, I don't believe in no ghosts." You see somebody walking on the water, you're going to start believing in ghosts real quick. They see Jesus walking on the water. They said, "Is it a ghost? It is a spirit." You know what Jesus said? "It is I." I'm thankful when all the voices of this world are ringing in your ear. You've got a voice that's greater than those voices that says, "Quiet, be still, it is I. Rest, child, it is I." It is a command of plurality. But then I see a command of promise. He says, let us pass over unto the other side. You know what Jesus didn't say? Hey, let's go out and just meander in the storm. No, he said, hey, let us go to the other side. In other words, we're not just going to go sit out in the water. You're going to make it. Can I tell you this morning? You're going to make it. The Scoggins family's going to make it. You're going to make it. He didn't promise an easy trip, but he did promise this, a guaranteed arrival. He promised a guaranteed arrival at their destination. I'm thankful that Jesus is telling them, he said, listen, just stay with me. I'm taking you somewhere. How many know this? When you just go with God, God's going to take you somewhere. You may not understand everything about the journey, but I promise you, you just anchor down with God. You may not understand it. You may be a little bit confused, but I promise, just stick with Jesus. He'll take you somewhere. I know this, that the promise is only good as the one making it. I've joked around this about my kids, and my kids, they get a little bit of money. They'll promise daddy they're going to buy daddy anything and everything. But in all reality, they may have $10 in their wallet. And it's cute and it's silly. But sometimes they may make a promise that they can't keep. But can I tell you, I've got a God in heaven that when He makes a promise, listen, the promise is only good as the person making it. And He said, let us go to the other side. Look at chapter number 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side. They made it. Listen, that may not mean a lot to you, but that means a lot to me. When Jesus says, hey, let us go. I'm not guaranteed it's going to be easy, but I'm going to be with you. And hey, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. A direct command. Number 3, I want to show you this, devoted company. I find devoted company. Verse number 36, the Bible says this. When they had sent away the multitude, there's a multitude there. They're dismissing the multitude. The Bible says they took him even as he was in the ship. And I love this part of the text. And there were also with him other little ships. Disciples tried to dismiss the multitude. But the Bible says there were other little ships. And by the way, those other little ships, they weren't following the disciples. If I understand my Bible right, it says with Him. They're wanting to be with Jesus. These other little ships are trying to stay with the Master. Now, I don't know what it was like out on those waters with the other little ships. But I know some things that could happen. Maybe they were there to encourage the disciples. Maybe that we know that they're involved in this storm, these other little ships. They're trying to be with Jesus. And maybe they were there and they were encouraging the disciples. I don't know. I'm not trying to tell you what the Bible does or does say. But here's what I do know, that if I'm in a storm and I see somebody else out there in the storm with me, things don't seem as bad. Before we moved to here, I was at the same lake. I took my wife along that we got drenched on. I went out with my buddy, Derek and Ethan. And Ethan's the one that almost shot me, if y'all remember that story, in the log house. And I still haven't forgiven him over that. I'm just figuring. But him and Ethan, we go out on this lake and we go at nighttime. It's about 2 in the morning. And Derek, he said, I want to take you to a place called Spook Hollow. Now look, y'all, I'm not a candidate for things called Spook Hollow. But he said, let's go to Spook Hollow. He said, I want to show you how eerie this place is. It was 2 in the morning. And I remember we go, we're traveling through the lake, it's 2 in the morning, you can't see nothing except the stars in the sky. And we go into this little cove, in this little holler. That's a redneck term, holler. Where's Jason Holler? See, amen, praise the Lord. We go in this little cove, this little holler, and we're going back, keep going back. And I kid you not, y'all, the temperature got colder. Be honest with you, I was trying to act brave. I was trying to act like it didn't bother me, but I was scared out of my mind. And if you own a boat in here, you'll know that you have to have your little white light, or you got your red and green light on the front, and you got your white light on the back. And we was out there, and I was a little bit scared, but here I saw another one of those little lights just floating around. I said, praise the Lord. You know what? If I get killed, I ain't the only one getting killed. Amen? Somebody else is getting killed with me. It don't seem so bad. But you know, those other little ships out in the water, you know, they could have hollered up, "Hey, Peter! We're with you, Peter! We're in the storm with you, Peter! Hey, Andrew! Hey, Thomas, we're with you. We're going through the same thing." Listen, don't it encourage you that, man, when you're in the storm, you see somebody else who's been down the same road you've been down, and they say, "Hey, you're going to make it. I've been where you've been. I promise you, you're going to make it." These other little ships. But maybe the disciples were there to encourage them. Maybe the disciples were hollering out, "Hey, we're going to make it." Can I say this, that the way you handle your storm does not just affect you. Other people are watching. You know, those guys probably maybe saw that boat and they said, "Man, that boat right there is full of water. Hey, Peter, how did you make it? Your boat was full of water." You know what Peter probably said? "We had the master on board." Can I tell you this? People's going to ask you, "How did you make it? I've been watching you go through a tragedy. I watched you as you went. How did you make it?" You know what you ought to tell them? "I had the master on board. I had Christ. I had the Lord." Sometimes God will let us go through tragedies just so we can tell other people how we made it. We've got Christ. These other little ships. Devoted company. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you." John 14 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." I'm thankful for the Spirit of God, church. I'm thankful that in times of trouble, I've got God's Spirit. You may feel like you're going down, but can I tell you this? You cannot go down if you've got the Master. You can't go down. Listen, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? We see a difficult circumstance, severity of that storm. We see a direct command. Jesus, let us go to the other side. We see devoted company. There's other little ships. But I want you to look at the determined conclusion. Look at what they say. Look what they have concluded in verse 38. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" You know, in our Bible, it doesn't say that they did not say that we might perish or that we possibly will perish. You know, sometimes we go through a storm and we've already concluded in our mind, "This is going to take me out. I can't make it no more. I'm so discouraged. I'm so defeated. I'm so dead. There's nothing I can do." They concluded in their mind that they're going to perish. You say, "Well, preacher, you may not say that out loud. You know everybody's watching you. But in your heart, you shake your fist at God. You shake your fist at God. You're angry. You're mad. And you tell God, 'God, do you not care about me? Lord, why me?'" That was the conclusion that the disciples had come to. They said, "We're perishing. Jesus doesn't even care. We're going down." That's the determined conclusion. But I want you to show you number five. I see a distinguished calm. Verse 39, the Bible says, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm." Remember, there was a great storm. But the Bible says, hey, there's a great calm. A great calm. That word distinguished means it's characterized by distinction. It's not just a regular calm, but the Bible says it's a great calm. In other words, this was not, it wasn't just any calm that they'd seen before. It was a calmness that they had never felt or seen. And I'm thankful, church, that when I go through the storms of life, and when you go through the tragedies of life, these severe storms, these great storms, that when we have a great storm, we can also have a great calm. That God can speak peace into our life. I'm thankful for the comfort. I think about that song the choir sang. It says, "I have peace," when they say that I shouldn't. I'm thankful I've got a Savior that can give me peace in the storm. Then number six, I want to show you divine concern. Look what Jesus says in verse 40. "Why are you so fearful? Divine concern. Why are you so fearful? You know what I believe Jesus is saying? I care. I care. You know what Jesus is saying this morning? I care. I care about what you're going through. In fact, I care so much, I'm with you. I'm going to help you. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Psalms 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain thee and never suffer the righteous to be moved. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe Jesus asked that question, how do you not have faith? You've heard me preach about it. You've read about it from the prophets. Jesus just got them teaching about that in earlier parts of chapter number 4. Why are you so fearful? Jesus is saying, I care. We see a difficult circumstance. It's a great storm, severe storm, a direct command. Jesus let us go to the other side. There's devoted company, these little ships that are with them, a determined conclusion. They've said, we're going to perish. Then there's a divine concern where Jesus, why are you so fearful? I care about you. But then lastly, I want you to notice number 7, a distinct confirmation. Miss Lisa, you can help me out. I'm done. You know what the disciples concluded after the great calm in their life? They went from saying this, you don't care that we perish. We're going down, Jesus. You don't care. But then you jump to this verse and they say this, what manner of man? The wind and sea obey Him. When it's all said and done, Jesus calmed the storm. They were able to witness a miracle. What manner of man? You know, there'll be some people, I want you to listen to me just for a second. There'll be some people, you're going to go through tragedy. I know people right now, I'm thinking of them in my mind. God has sent a storm into their life. They got bitter. They got angry at God. And they're no longer serving Him. Y'all know anybody like that? I do. I know a lot of them. And that's what they said. God, you don't care. Why me? And they didn't stick it out. Instead of getting better, they got bitter. But then there are people that said, God, I don't know why. I don't understand it, Lord, but I know that you do all things well. God, I'm going to stick with you through the storm. And they make it to the other side. And they look back at God who's brought them through all that stuff. And they say, what manner of man? What kind of God loves me so much? I felt that peace that passes all understanding. I felt His hand as He carried me through the way. I'm telling you, listen, you will know God more and more on the other side of the storm than you ever did on the first part of the storm. God will grow you and help you. He'll show you things about Him that you've never saw before through the storm. And you'll get to the other side. Wow. What manner of man? What kind of God do I serve? How good God is. My question to you this morning is, are you going to give up? Going to get bitter? Never making it to say what manner of man? Or will you stick it out with God? You'll get to the place in your life where you'll say, what manner of man? I think of, most of you know the story behind the song, It Is Well. For those of you that don't, you'll man by the name of Horatio Spafford, and I won't give you all the details, but he'd went through many tragedies in his life. He went through great fires that had destroyed his business. But to make a long story short, he was sending his family ahead on a vessel. And he would plan to go, but last minute got caught up in some business affairs, and so he sent his family ahead. One thing led to another, and to be honest with you, some of y'all may know this, I don't know why, but the ship sank. His daughters perished on that ship, only for his wife to make it. He gets a telegram back, reports the news. The story goes that as he was traveling those waters to go meet with his grieving wife, The captain comes down to where Horatio Spafford was at the bottom of the ship, and he said, "Sir, I just want to let you know, we're at the place. We're going across the waters, the very place where your daughters perished." And it is that moment that Horatio Spafford began to pen these words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Verse number 2, he continued to write, "Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul." See, how in the world could a man, after losing his family, write something like that? I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit of God. What manner of man? There's two types of people in the room this morning. People that God can entrust with a storm. You'll make it to the other side, whether here on earth or in heaven. God will roll back the clouds of time, just like He did with Job, and He'll say, "This is why I put you through what I did. You didn't understand it then, but there were certain situations that I saw that you did not see. But you trusted me, and now I want to show you why you went through what you went through." But then there'll be other people. God tries to grow them through a storm. Instead of sticking with Jesus, they get bitter, they get angry, never to serve God again. They were not a good steward of their storm. They'll throw in the towel and they'll quit. Can I tell you, ask you a question this morning, which one will you be? You say, "Preacher, I'm not in a storm. Everything's great. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. But I promise you this, storm's coming. Storm will come. Trials will come." How will you? Can I say, you ought to commit in your heart today. You ought to make a commitment today. "God, I do not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And God, I want to stick with you. Whether trial, whether storm, whether sunshine or rain, God, I want to stick with you. God, I don't want to be bitter, but God, I want to get better." Where are you going to fall? Can I tell you, you better make a commitment today. Because I promise you this, it's coming. That phone call could happen any moment. It could change the course of your life. What will you do when it happens? I want you to stand to your feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You may be here this morning. Listen, I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. You may be going through something. I have no idea. Can I tell you, why don't you just cling to Christ this morning? Why don't you just pour your out? Maybe you're here and everything's great. Maybe, why don't you just make a commitment to the Lord? Say, "God, I don't know what next week. I don't know what's going to happen next month. But God, with your help, I'm going to commit not to get bitter. But God, that I'd stay better." Why don't you come this morning, pour your heart out to the Lord. God will help you. Some are already on the altars. They pray. Brother Travis is going to sing. If you need to come, you come.